So I'm going to share today a little bit of just kind of what God's put on my heart this week. So I was going to share my testimony a little bit, but since it's everybody that pretty much knows my testimony, I'm not going to really dive into it. But I will say today is almost 25 years to the day that I became a Christian, which is super kind of exciting. I thought about this week, and a lot of y'all know my story, College Station. I grew up kind of crazy and, you know, partied last couple of years of high school looking for life, and there is no life in life. So speak up. Yeah, exactly. Jack, you good back there? You can hear. So I would share a few things from my testimony just because it's kind of my birthday. Christian actually was my birthday last week, but actually my 25th, you know, Jesus saving me. Birthday, which is exciting and something to reflect on. So just a couple of things I want to share maybe a little bit was, you know, I grew up in Austin and
I'm sorry.
I know. So the last couple of years of high school was just really, I grew up playing soccer, competitive soccer, was real involved in that. And then the last couple of years of high school was really looking for life and, you know, partied like crazy. I was at a reunion here about 5 or 6 years ago with some of my soccer buddies, and they're like, "Hey guys, remember that time when Flood drove us to the bowling alley in his mom's car? That we were 12, and I took my mom's car and drove the whole. She had a real big car, and I did all kind of. I was a crazy kid, pretty much a hoodlum, and and so I think back on these things. It's good to remember where God took. I don't know how I made it through a lot of those years, to be honest with you. I think of different situations where I could have killed a lot of people. And so I'm really thankful and kind of reflected back on that this week a little bit. But, you know, when I graduated from high school, my parents had a job transfer. So the house was empty, like literally the day I graduated from high school. So I load my truck up and I go to College Station, Texas, and I pull up and there's a place there called the Dixie Chicken, which sold more beer per square foot than any other place in the nation. I knew this. And so I pull up right there and I go in and I ask for the owner. And they say, "Well, he's back here, you know, and it's nighttime and it's real packed." And so they take me to the back of the Dixie Chicken and there's this little staircase going upstairs. So I go up there and there's a guy sitting behind this big wooden desk. He's got gray, white hair, big chewing tobacco, rattlesnake cage back behind his desk, and I'm just like, it's like something you'd see out of TV. And this guy owned College Station. I mean, he owned a place called Alfred T. Hornback's, a pool hall there, and Chicken Oil Company, and a couple other places there. He drove on the right side, left side of the road, whatever side of the road he wanted to drive on. He had a big white dually truck. And so I go in there and I meet him and I told him I just pulled into town, I'm looking for a job. And he's like, you know, he sits there, and I swear it seemed like about 5 minutes that he just stared at me. And he had a couple guys that he worked with, and he, you know, he finished talking to them, and then they went out, and he said, "We'll be here at 6 in the morning tomorrow. No paperwork, no nothing," right? So 6 a.m., I show up that morning, and I'm on a thing called Bud Crew. And I don't know if I shared this last time at all. So I'm on this thing called Bud Crew, and it's like these guys are like the real deal cowboys and rough crowd, and there wasn't enough room in all the, he had a four-door dually truck, and there wasn't enough room for me in there, so I'm in the back of the truck, right, and he's driving, we drive to his ranch, and he's going over curbs, and I'm bouncing around in the back, and and I work on his ranch that summer, just every day, it's like, and I'm the new guy, so I'm like, crawl under there, hook these wires up, you know, it's just, I end up in the hospital at one point that summer for heat exhaustion. It was just, it was brutal, and, you know, I think back, it was probably, you know, probably the beginning of the end had already started for me, I guess, you know. But, you know, life has a way of, you know, beating you down and preparing you for what the Lord was going to do, you know, this time in 93. So, you know, long story short, I, you know, was at a party one night and was completely not drinking or anything that night. And I was usually on top of the table singing or playing games or doing something crazy. And that night was just completely empty. And I mean, like a black hole abyss empty. And I remember it getting like silent. There were people everywhere. And it getting silent that night, like silent, like a pin drop. And I just walk out of that party and I start walking down towards my apartment. And it was pitch black, like the darkest black I've ever seen. I'd still remember it. And I cut across these apartments and there's a couple of guys sitting by this pool. And I start talking to them. And they share Jesus with me in a way that never heard of before. And I'd been around church, you know, Methodist and Baptist and different churches and this and that, and never heard the Lord like that. And I was prime and ripe. And, you know, I don't know who these guys were, but, you know, that story about the road to Emmaus, their hearts burned within them. Man, I went home that night, and I don't know if it was my Bible or my roommate's or what, he was out of town, but I said, God, if you're real, like these guys talk about, reveal yourself to me. And for 2 years, literally, just devoured this. I cared like 3 or 4. Everybody thought I was crazy. I lost probably all my friends. I didn't care at all. And I carried 3 or 4 Bibles because I was trying to see which version's right. I didn't go to church because I didn't trust any of the churches. I knew it said in here, greater works than these you'll do. And I was seeing healings. I was seeing everything. And I believed it 100%. The verse that hit me that night was John 10:10. Jesus came to give us life and to give it to us abundantly. And I knew two things when I heard this. I knew, number one, in God is the only thing that can fill that empty void in me. Wow. The only thing. I knew that, and also knew I had lived completely, totally, 100% vanity. Vain. There's no life in this life, and I knew it. I knew both those two things that night. And I knew this word is everything. And I knew I'd never found a church that had that. Or a person. They probably were around. I'm sure they were. They probably spoke to me, and there were Christians everywhere, but at that point, this is what I needed, was just him and me and just relationship and the word. And so, and then after, you guys know the story, but I've, a couple years down the road, I've ran into Hebrews, bumped into where it says, forsake not the gathering together. You know, and I knew God told me I need a pastor. So I prayed. I said, God, you're my everything. I ask you for everything. You say, ask anything in your name. So I prayed for a pastor. And next thing I know, meet Tim Stevenson, have to drive 3.5 hours to come here, Pastor Jim and Robert Mowiri and Pastor Dave. And I knew God spoke to me and said, these are the people that you're to be, to learn under. So I always am thankful for Pastor Jim and everything you've sowed into me and all of our friends and our stuff. And, you know, it's, I like to talk about this now because it's reflecting back. It's kind of fresh to me right now because I was thinking about this week. Just about, you know, it's always good to remember kind of where we came from, not think about that too much. I'd rather think about the future and God and things that are good. And that's kind of the thing that God spoke to me this week, or not kind of, it was real strong. You know, we've been married 20 years. We just hit our 20-year anniversary, Tam and I, and you know, I was not the husband that was, I didn't do it right. Literally, the day we flew back from our honeymoon, literally the day we flew back was my wife's birthday that totally forgot. So we land and Tim and a bunch of people there, happy birthday. And Tam just looks at me like, seriously? You know, the honeymoon is officially over. Okay, we landed August 10th. And so I have never, everybody, people like to remind me of that. So I have not gotten any better at all, at all. I'm the same. So I don't believe in any of behavior modification getting better, but I do believe that in dying. So, and thankfully I have a pastor that's faithful in speaking the truth to us. Right. So the things that I was really encouraged on this week, because I had a lot of stress at work and fear, actually. And I was convicted. The Lord showed me, you know, why am I afraid? Why are the cares of this world choking out my word? So I was really convicted and encouraged on two things. Renewing my mind and taking every thought captive. So I wrote a bunch of verses out so we don't have to flip around. You can write them down. But I did want to share them and kind of read through it a little bit here. Okay, so Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I'm going to read through some verses here. You don't have to flip around. Write them down if you want to. But look for there's a common thread through all these. When the Lord showed me this week, just verses were just tons of them were just popping into my head. I knew he was speaking to me about this and to be intentional about taking every thought captive. So I'm going to kind of read through some of these verses, but Romans 12:2 and then 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." This is 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5. It says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So I was kind of thinking of some ways that we do renew our mind, you know. So, like, what are some ways? How do we renew our mind? What do we do? What do we do, David?
Meditate on the Word.
Meditate on the Word. We read the Word. We worship. We praise. Fellowship. We fellowship. Yeah. You know, there's... So I was kind of chewing on some of that this week. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success." Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in you. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Relationship. Every verse that I was kind of reading through this week, you see it. First, we seek first the kingdom of God. We dwell with him. We spend time with him. Everything else doesn't matter. It takes care of itself. The fruit, we're so focused on fruit and doing. And even in these verses, there's a lot of doing. And, you know, even we can make a law out of renewing our mind. You know, I was talking to Danny last week. It was funny. I was gonna drive to work. I was gonna pray in tongues the whole way to work. About a minute later, I'm already thinking about everything else. I lasted about a minute. You know what I mean? So we create these laws and these stupid things that we do, but God's in us to willing to do of His good pleasure. So, you know, the Hebrew word in that verse in Isaiah 26 is yetzer, and it means imagination or conception. So the thing that I was really chewing on this week is just these thoughts that we have are seeds. And they grow, right? And the good thing is you have bad thoughts, pluck that thing out and take it captive. You know, but be intentional is the thing that I was really encouraged on. And the Hebrew word in Joshua 1:8 for meditate is hagah, means to utter, ponder, or imagine. So the thing that was really interesting or encouraging to me this week is just the imagination. You know, and the things that happen, on the things that we think about, the things that we imagine, that word. And it's all throughout the Word. I think it's 39 times or something in the Old Testament. But I was reading a story last night about a lady. I don't know if y'all know who Temple Grandin is.
Yeah.
So Temple Grandin, she like revolutionized the cattle industry. And she had some form of autism. Like, I don't know what this, there's all these spectrums and all this stuff, but she saw in pictures. She literally, like, she has a book called Thinking in Pictures, and that's, I don't know, so it was just something that kind of came up in conversation, and I remember reading this and studying her years ago, but very interesting. But she revolutionized the cattle industry because she came up with a new way for slaughterhouses. She, like, there's curved rails instead of straight, so the cattle, they don't get all nervous and stressed and stuff like that. So they go around when they're going about to be slaughtered, keep it nice and calm. But they go around so they don't see all the chaos ahead, so it kept them real calm. And then there's also, she developed this invention. It's this thing that's in the middle where it picks the cow up at the end, where it used to be real aggressive, and they would have all this adrenaline pumping through their blood and through the meat and stuff like that. Now this thing lifts them up, picks them up right before they're about to get slaughtered, okay? So it keeps them nice and calm, but it revolutionized the industry. And I think about this lady because she has gone on. She's a professor at like Colorado University. She has autism. Like, she's very socially awkward. I mean, Dave, probably worse than you, man. Okay? So, worse than me. So, but she, you know, I thought about that. She thinks in pictures, and that's how she developed, and she's a consultant for all these, like, the biggest beef cattle houses. She develops their... like their processing rooms and stuff like that. So kind of an interesting thing. Mark 4. I want to turn to Mark 4 real quick. So this is a story about Jesus talking about it's the parable of the soils and the sower of the seeds. And the first part he's talking to all the the masses, and then he gets with the disciples and he explains the parable. So I'm just going to read kind of this last part. It says, "And when he was alone," this is down in verse 10, "and when they were alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable." It goes down, you skip down to verse 13. And it says, "And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And know then, will you know all parables? The sower sows the word." Okay, "and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they're offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So, this kind of hit me this week, because I think I want to have 30, 60, 100-fold. What's the soil? We're the soil. Our hearts are the soil, right? So I was just thinking about just on marriage and the trials of marriage, and I'm not laughing at you guys. Shannon didn't want to necessarily be here this early this morning, so sorry to call you out, Shannon. My wife's obviously not here, but she is out of town, so we give her a pass. But just marriage, life, my job, everything is like in this life is designed to create good soil in us to receive this word, okay? So persevere, keep going. It's good. The trials, I think we look for peace and we look for comfort and we look for all these things. There's a song by a lady named Laura Story called Blessings, and she talks about maybe the blessings are in the raindrops, maybe we're in their sleepless nights, maybe we're in the... It's a horrible song. It's actually good. Because I know for me, my personal testimony is I was empty. I was done. Right? So I needed Jesus. When I heard this, it was like a guy in a desert drinking just the best water ever. Okay? So I guess the encouragement here, the word, the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, all that stuff, it's nothing.
Right.
It's nothing. Man, it is nothing. So this word, the encouragement is just to renew our word, to recognize the power of this word.
Amen.
And we've really dug into this here, I guess, for a couple of weeks, just with some of the brothers and stuff, just in a lot of talking, just that, man, that word is just everything. And honestly, see people that grow and people that don't grow. The ones that grow are the ones that are staying in this. Right. And I just...
Huh? And stay in fellowship.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Fellowship and staying in the word. Amen. So, I got a few more verses to read here. You don't have to flip to it, but Philippians 4:4, I thought this was awesome. "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing." Be full of care for nothing. Okay? "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." So he's given us, these are like New Testament commands. Renew our minds. Do. Think on these things. He's telling us, think on these things because it's good. It's a blessing. Think on, it's an encouragement. So I want to encourage us to think on things that are good, right? Because these are the things that produce good fruit. And you can see the fruit of what they say. They say, think on these things, do them, and the God of peace will be with you. Isaiah 26, where it says, that he'll, he what's the verse we just read? It says, you'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Because he trusts in you. You know what I mean? He trusts in you. So there were eight things there. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praiseworthy. That's what we're to think on. That's our mind. That's who we are. So we get these, you know, reports, bad reports. This week was just one after the other. And even to the point I'm like, I might get fired. Gosh. Who cares? I don't even care. I mean, I do, okay? But I don't. Tammy does. It freaks her out. But, you know, I've seen God provide for me. And there's so many promises, hundreds. We don't have any care about any of that stuff. There's, you know, that's just maybe preparing the soil. This life is so short. It says it's a vapor. Poof and gone. We put so much into this thing. So really our prayer is just that God continually, you know, in marriage, I was thinking this morning, it's like discipleship. You know, people want to run from it. I'm not actually surprised by divorce, right? I'm surprised by the marriage rate. I'm surprised by people that stay married. I'm way more surprised by that than I am people get divorced. That's common sense to me. That makes sense. That makes total sense. You're an idiot if you stay married, okay? But it's good. It's actually good. Okay, so I was thinking this morning how marriage, it's like discipleship. You know, it drives you to Jesus. Hey, Lynn. So we're wrapping up, so. Yeah, I'm almost out. You know, I kind of gave out. That's all I got. But I was thinking this morning how marriage... Huh? Yeah, it's about to kick in. It's not just marriage that drives us to Jesus, but everything. Jobs, life, the grind, the daily grind. Jesus said, in this world, you will have troubles. It's like he set that in there. Here, this will help them. You know, it's not from him. Bad theology there. But I'm just saying that in this world, there is troubles. So we're to be of good cheer. You know, the last thing I kind of want to leave with a little bit is, you know, a theme for a lot of us that have been talking, our brothers and stuff, is just that we walk by faith, not by sight. And so we talked last week, and something that really stuck with me, I was thinking about that story. It's in Matthew 17. I want to read this. It's the Mount of Transfiguration. It says, and after 6 days, this is Matthew 17:1. It says, and after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother. And I was reading that this morning laughing because we were, you remember that, Michael, there's a comedian that has a whole thing about being the brother of Jesus, you know, and what that must be like, you know. The next party after the banquet, you know, Jesus turns water to wine, and then there's the next banquet, and Jesus left early. And everybody turns to James, like, James, last party we ran out of wine. Jesus turned the water into wine. Can you do the same thing for us? And he has a whole thing about being the brother of Jesus, right? But I thought about that this morning. It was funny. You know, and he was talking about, you know, he could have a WW. He goes to his parents, hey, you know, Mom, Dad, Joseph, what do I do here? And they're like, well, what would Jesus do? You know, and so he was talking about having a what would Jesus do bracelet. And then he was, it was funny. He was saying, you know, James is driving down the road, you know, and he's got, somebody cuts him off and he's like, yells at him. And the parent's like, hey, man, you got a WWJD. And he's like, oh, no. This is what would James do. This is a what would James do bracelet. It was funny. If y'all get a chance, check it out. So James and John, his brother, and bringing them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you will, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elias. And while he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. I always think that's funny. Peter's got his whole thing he's about to put together, and just God just overshadowed Peter. You know what I mean? And while yet Peter spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and he touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." So I read that because awesome, powerful. You know, Alex, you were talking this morning about praying and, you know, midnight prayers and, man, the glory of God. It's awesome. And I think as believers, we want this experience. And Peter, who was there, you know, we shared this last week, and this is just what God spoke to me as we were thinking about this Mount of Transfiguration over in 2 Peter. It's Peter talking about this experience. And he says, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." Then he says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." We have a more sure word of prophecy. And he's talking about the word. "Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts." So the thing that really, really speaks to me about this is how powerful this word is. More powerful than the Mount of Transfiguration. It says it. This is more powerful than the Mount of than being right there on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, who was there? I bet you Peter left that and the next day was like, "Did that really happen?" I visualize that Peter kind of being, I'd probably be like that. Even 20 years down the road, 25 years down the road, I'd be like, "Did we really hear that voice? Wait, you were there, right?" Even John the Baptist, you know, when he's in prison, he walked with, you know, Jesus, and he's in prison there. He's doubting if this, you know, "Hey, can you see if this really is the Christ?" And he lived his whole life for this experience, for him to minister and to talk about Jesus. And now he gets thrown in jail. And then he tells his people, "Hey, go see if this really is the Christ." And then Jesus, remember what Jesus did?
Oh, yeah.
He referred him back to the Word. He says, "Tell him that, you know, the blind eyes are being opened." And Isaiah, where it talks about what Jesus is going to be like. So he sent him back to the Word. So I was really, really encouraged this week, and I want you guys to be encouraged too, to renew our minds, to think on things that are true, that are pure, and to stay in the Word. The last verse I want to kind of share here, and I'll kind of finish up. It's in Revelations 1, and this is just a verse that spoke to me this week, and it kind of tied in with everything that I really was hearing from the Lord this week, but I wanted to share it with you, just kind of in light of coming into Easter and Passover. It really spoke to me, and it's in Revelations 1, and I'll start. It kind of starts, well, 1:1, it says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John." Okay, and you kind of skip through. And down in 9 it says, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice of a trumpet saying, 'I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea.' And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shines in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Man, this verse is powerful. This chapter and that verse. You know, and it says they saw Jesus and John fell at his feet again. You know, and something that really kind of, this is just a sidebar, but man, the fear of God, you know, and the lack of it in this, even almost in the Christian world of just Jesus as our good buddy and handshake. No, John fell down when he saw Jesus the way he is, fell down. You know, and Jesus had to put his hand and say, no, don't be afraid. You know, that's just another, maybe that'll be next week's message, but God is awesome. Yes. Jesus is awesome, and he is our intercessor. He's our Lord. He's our God. And I guess the thing I just want to really encourage all of us is to just to meditate on his word, renew our mind, and stay in the word. You know, there were several scriptures. I don't know if I read them here right now, but about in these last days and in these times and these perilous times and in this tribulation, and we're in the last days. So they apply to us. And so it says, be sober, stay in the word. There's a lot of distractions. You know, these cell phones are ridiculous. Turn that thing on. It was funny. I got one of the things that caused a little fear in me this week. My boss sent me a message, me and two other store managers, and there's a whole market of store managers. He's like, are you guys not competing in this contest? Because it's this contest for people to download these apps on their phone. My store is a certain, like, I don't have online grocery. It's a $40 million store versus $120 million. There's no way I could win this competition that he's talking about. I'm not even really totally focused on it. And a lot of my people are already using this. So I sent back a message, said, you know, we already are using this. We're not going to get the increase like other stores. And then I was a little bit more smart alecky in an email that I sent him later. And he laughed about it. But just saying, I'm sorry that they're about 6 months behind all of us. So, but, you know, that was one of those things that just caused kind of fear in me, because I was like, God, I'm not performing. I'm not doing well. I'm not, you know, it, you know, was concerning. But man, those cell phones can be a big distraction. You know, just throwing that out there, you know, because the cares of this world and the distractions, there's just only so much time in a day. So cherish our time. It's valuable. And the days are short. Amen. So just an encouragement today to stay in the word and pray, fellowship, worship. So I don't really have much more to share, but God is good. He's awesome. Len, you missed it. I got to share a little bit of start over. So you missed the best part. Right. So maybe there's a tape or something. But that's all I have. I know, you know, Jim has asked some of us to kind of share over the next weeks or months or whatever, Danny, Dave, and some of the guys in church. And, you know, I want to pass on the encouragement to you guys. There's so much that our church and everybody, I know you guys have been sitting here for years, you know, just to encourage to share, you know, and to testify work or wherever it is that we're at. Because, man, the harvest is ripe for sure. Mm-hmm. So I know I see that. I experience that in work. I mean, I share things at Walmart that probably could get me fired. But there's, I'm really bold about it because I know it's the word right then. And so I don't have any cares. It's fine. It's, you know, and honestly, the home office people for Walmart these days, I was in Doug McMillan's office. He's the CEO of Walmart. He's a believer. And I was in his office about 2 months ago. And, you know, I've said this for the past couple of years. I'm really excited about the people that are leading, you know, our company. They keep doing these pay bumps. And, you know, each store, they've kind of given the authority to do what you want to with these stores. There's some basic things that are set up. But So I kind of have the ability to do, just run a good business. So it's really been a blessing. And
praise God.
I have a really, really awesome store with a lot of really neat associates. I have a ton of stories that I could share, just testimonies of things the Lord's done and doors that he's opening and trials, actually. The guy before me got fired and he really did nothing. It's really easy. You can, any given day, probably, you know, there's things I could list, 3, 4, 5 things. I'm like, golly, wow, you know, that you just can't do it all, or that could, you know, somebody could accuse you of this or that. It's just, it's the world, you know, it's just the world. So, but God is our provider, and he's our, you know, he's in us to willing to do of his good pleasure. And so we have no, we fear the one that, you know, he had the keys to heaven and hell. He said in that last verse, that's the guy I want to stay close to. I don't care about anything else, you know, really, in light of that. So thank you for letting me share today. So it's good. We'll close in prayer. Unless, Jim, do you want to share a little bit? Do you want to?
Could I?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been praying about it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to add anything to what he said, but I'm going to underline a couple of things he said. The Word of God, everything. There isn't anything but the Word of God. So the only thing he left behind is the Word of God. He didn't leave anything else behind. So imagine Jesus, King of Kings, Lord, all that stuff, but he only lived a word, and you can only have faith in an unseen world. You can read it, but it's all unseen. Nothing that's in the word, you can see it. You can't see anything. You can't see your new life. You can't see anyone else's. You can't see anything. Now, the works that they do are fruit. The works that they do are fruit, and that's what you were sharing about. He said it today, he read the Mark passage about the four kinds of soil. And interesting, 3/4 of them can't hear you. I mean, 3/4 of them are Christians. These are all Christians. They receive the word and the birds eat it up and all that kind of stuff. But only one part of that, one is fruitful, and that's death. And that's chair 5. We call it chair 5, but it's just death. And the problem is Christians don't want to die. Anybody doesn't want to die to themselves and kill themselves. That's all you have is yourself. And you don't want to get rid of yourself. But that's all you have. And it's a sinful, wicked, nasty self. Because your will wants to will. Your mind wants to think. And you don't want to take it captive. And you don't want to will what he wills. And you don't want to... So anyway, it's just interesting. If you're not used to resistance, you don't understand life. Everything in this world has resistance. Everything. But including the kingdom of God. You know, the prophet Daniel, in the 10th chapter, he prayed to God. He had read the word, and so he acted on it and prayed. But 21 days later, the answer came. He had to be patient and keep praying and keep praying and keep praying, and that thing, it'll kill you. Anything you're praying about, very few people pray for 21 days on anything. It's just like, it's killing your flesh. It's killing your flesh. Because what about my needs? What about my desires and flesh? And, you know, it wants to eat of the tree and so on and so forth. It doesn't like being left out. But unless you die, you can't live. Unless you die to yourself, not outward. The kingdom of God is within you. You have to die to your will, to your mind, to your emotions. You're not God. You guys are not God. And if you don't have the word of God, and if it doesn't kill you, you haven't read the word. If it doesn't kill you every time you read it, you haven't read the word. That's what I picked up from what you were saying 25 years ago. Now here you are celebrating, and it's like too powerful. So I'm just responding to what you shared today. To me, it was the Word of God, and it's too powerful. You have to die. dying is the greatest thing you can do. The most precious gift the Father has is dying to yourself. Nothing else in the world can perfect you like the Word of God. Only the Word of God does
that. Glory to God.
So I was really blessed today by hearing your story. But it's David's story. It's all of our story, Shannon's story. Everyone who's a Christian who's not afraid to die won't live. Unless you die. You're born to die, and you die to be resurrected in this world.
Amen.
But it's all by faith. It's totally 100% by faith till he comes back. And when he comes back, you'll see everything. You'll see everything. You don't need any faith or you don't need any hope. You'll see it right there. It'll all be yours. Forever and ever. But dying is the key. It's the only key. I mean, nothing else. Yeah, he can speak his word, but most people, the birds eat it. And, you know, the cares of this world, all kinds of stuff. It is no way you can keep it. And Christians, like you said, you see marriages that don't work, and then you see marriages that do. And there's a lot more that don't work. I mean, it's so easy, 3/4 of them, you know. But only 1/4 stay. And I'm staying with Peg. I'm staying there, right there. I'm not leaving. Yeah. And I say that to her. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I don't care what happens. I'm there. Crummy me, but it's me. It's me. I don't care about how well I'm faithful. I only care that whatever I heard God say, I did it. Whenever, if I hear God, I'm doing it. And so I don't have to hear him all the time. I don't hear him all the time. I hear other kinds of things. But I completely, I don't know how you are, Jeff, but I'm completely convicted by the Holy Spirit. Confess that sin. Confess that right away. Get up. Get out. And feed the word. Feed the word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. There's where sin gets an access. But if you're dead, you laugh. You're relaxed. You're totally, you said, carefree or whatever the word you used. We're free of care. I'm not really worried about being good and doing good. I don't want to do good things. I just want to know Jesus. And then I do good things. But I'm not even trying to do good things. I just know Jesus. Beholding him, we're changed from one degree. You know, that works. So I just wanted to respond to all that and say, perfect word. Because it's your whole life. It's not just theology or... Let's take communion. In the night in which he was betrayed. In the night in which he was betrayed. Talk about, you know, job security.
Right on time.
In the night, which he was at the peak.
Yeah.
And then he got fired from Whole Foods or whatever. Or Walmart or whatever. But everything works together for the... How many know God is actually in charge? Of everything. The devil has never won one thing. So it's all imagination that you think the world is powerful. It isn't. It has nothing. The word is all you need. Just that bare word, without any fruit, without any rhemas. You don't need it. All the faith you do. I want to get a rhema. I want to see her, if I could hear God and so on. You don't need all that. Just seek first the kingdom of God. He'll give you everything else. His righteousness, he'll give you everything else. So don't work. Don't sweat. Don't do anything. Just seek God. Just pursue God. Why? Beholding him? Beholding him? You're changed. You're not changed by fasting. You're not changed by going to church. You're not changed by tithing. You're not changed by doing good works. You're not changed by anything else but beholding him.
Yep.
It's not about you.
Yep.
It's all about him.
Yep.
You get him, you get everything. Relationship. Yep. Relationship. All right. In the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. So here's your bread. Everybody got bread. And giving thanks to God for this bread, which was Jesus laying down his life, laying down his will, mind, and emotions. He was a steward. He was a trustee. He was someone that had no life of his own, never did what he wanted. He gave up his life just like we're doing. Based on what? Just the Bible. So it's like, what? How do I know to do that? Because I could lose my job or lose my life or lose my anything. You can't. If God is for you, who can be against you? So He gave thanks unto this and said to his disciples, take, eat. Eat. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eat of this tree. It'll solve all the poisons in your life. All that you got from the knowledge of good and evil was poison. That's the key to, that's the death. That's the death tree. This is the life tree. Eat of me. Unless you eat of my body and drink of my blood, which we're about to do. Unless you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no part in me. That's just by the word. You can't even check that out. Just do it. Just do it. Just trust God. He is so smart. This is what, all the good in this world comes from the word. Period. Period. All right. So, take, eat. This is my body, which is given, not earned, not merited, given for you. Let's partake. Thank you, Lord God,
yes,
that you have given us, you have given us everything we need in the Word of God by faith. Just that's it. And if we act on that, if the only thing we do is act on that, it's not a work. It's a response to your promise. It's not a work. It's a response to your promise. The promise is so good. But it doesn't make any sense. My mind can't grasp it. It can't comprehend it. Can't. But I'll do it. You said do it. I'm doing it. Because nothing else worked. Nothing else does work. This is the only thing that works. Now we're remembering your death. And in the same manner, also, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. Now, drink of this cup. It's the new covenant, the new covenant, the new covenant in my blood. I mean, brand new, different kind than anything in nature. It's the spiritual covenant gave to Abraham. Drink this cup. Drink this cup. So, giving thanks, he said, every one of you, take of this cup. Drink of this cup. It's the new covenant, my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission, forgiveness of sins. Now you don't have any. You don't have any. Drink of this cup, you won't have any sins. They'll be gone. Well, they already are. We're just remembering right now what you did so long ago. So now, in remembrance of me, let us now drink of the cup. Lord God, we thank you that there's power in the blood. Not the power to change me. This is the power to forgive me. Because you said also you are faithful and just to forgive us from all of our sins. And then, this is the fruit, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, and then to perfect me in love so that my love is perfected. You do all that. That's all the blood of Jesus. Blood we just drank. That blood of Jesus is what confirmed the covenant that Abraham got. That's the blood that confirms. Not the blood of goats and bulls. And so therefore, we're about to be married. We're about to receive our inheritance. We're about to get the prize of eternal life. We're about to get everything you ever promised, and we'll see it with our own eyes. We'll actually experience it. Thank you, Lord God. In remembrance of you, all these things are true. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.